We're going to get started off in the book of Exodus, the 16th chapter. And the title, if you will, it's always very difficult to do a title. I'm really thankful when my father just picks them out. But basically, what is missing in your life? All of us have a missing spot in our heart and our life, and we're looking for completion. So this is going to be a teaching meant to help guide you to find those keys to those missing pieces. Exodus, the 16th chapter. You can go sit by any dog if you like. No, I'm just there. Okay, Exodus chapter 16. Would somebody please read verse 2 through 4?
Then did all the assembly of the sons of Israel murmur against Moses and against Aaron in the desert. And the sons of Israel said unto them, all that we had died by the hand of Yahweh in the land of Egypt when we remained by the pot of flesh, when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this desert to cause all this multitude to die by famine.
Okay, now we turn the page to Exodus chapter 17, 1 through 6. If somebody would read that also.
1 through 6 of 17?
Yes, please.
And all the assemblies of the sons of Israel set forward out of the desert of Sin by their removings at the biddings of Yahweh and encamped in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. And the people found fault with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why should ye find fault with me? Why should ye put Yahweh to the proof? So the people thirsted for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is it that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill me and my sons and my cattle with thirst? And Moses made outcry unto Yahweh, saying, what am I to do with this people? Yet a little, and they will stone me. Then said Yahweh unto Moses, pass over before the people, and take with thee some of the elders of Israel, thy staff also, wherewith thou didst smite the river, take thou in thy hand, and smite, and so shalt thou go thy way. Behold me standing before thee, there upon the rock in Horeb. Then shalt thou smite the rock, and there shall come forth therefore from water, and the people shall drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the fault-finding of the sons of Israel and because of their putting Yahweh to proof, saying, is Yahweh in our midst or is he not?
Okay, now we turn to John, the Gospel called John, chapter 4.
Why don't you have Kevin sit with you, Wendy, and he can read out of your Bible.
You want to come sit with me and read my Bible?
I want him to read that.
No, I need it.
Now we're to chapter 4, 6 through 15. Thanks. I'll go ahead and read this. Now Jacob, or actually Jacob's fountain was there, and Yehoshua, therefore, having become toil-worn with the journey, was sitting thus upon the fountain. It was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Yehoshua said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city, that food they might buy. The Samaritan woman, therefore, saith unto him, how dost thou, being a Jew, ask to drink of me, who am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Yehoshua answered and said unto her, if thou hast known the free gift of Yahweh, and who it is that is saying unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst ask him, and he would have given thee living water. She said unto him, sir, not even a bucket hast thou, and the well is deep. Whence then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and himself out of it drank, and his sons and his flocks? Yehoshua answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water will thirst again. But whosoever shall drink of the water which I am giving him, in no wise shall thirst, unto times age abiding. But the water which I give him shall become within him a fountain of water, springing up unto life age abiding. This woman, or the woman, saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither to be coming hither to draw. He saith unto her, we'll stop right there. Yahweh took Yisrael into the wilderness. There are no provisions in the wilderness. Once they began to murmur, they asked for food. Guess what happened? He gave them bread. He gave them bread that day. And then what happened? Well, we need water. So then they go, hey, give us some water. And they were very ungrateful. A lot of them were very wicked also. But then Yahweh gave them water, which was needed by two of those occurrences. It was when they asked. Ask. Yes, you may. Can we have some water? Yes, you may. Why don't you just give us water before we even ask? Our Father wants a relationship. If you can remember that He wants a relationship with you, that is going to answer a lot of the questions you already have. He's not a supreme dictator way far off like Zeus that's playing chess and every once in a while he kind of looks at you. He wants a relationship from you. You want to know what He wants from you? A relationship. A mother and a father take a really big risk. I wondered about that with Yahweh in the Garden of Eden. Why in the world would He take a risk with Adam and Eve? For them to reject Him, that was really the first divorce. Why would He do that? Golly, they rejected Him, death came onto the planet, and then Yahweh doesn't return to the planet until the book of Revelation, permanently. He can't live where death is. This whole book, it's like Yahweh got evicted from His planet. Wow, why would you take a risk like that? Man, I would think about that, and be like, oh, why would you do that? But then as I humbled myself and I started reflecting back on it, well, that's what every parent does. A mother and a father who choose to have a child, go through all this pain and labor, discomfort, to have a child, and they have 18 years to develop a relationship, usually, and hopefully that kid has a good enough relationship with them that he'll stick around, he or she. Isn't that what parents do? And everybody is seeing it where one child turns wicked and they flee, they take off, you never see them again. And somebody who doesn't have any kids would look at those parents and go, why would you take a risk to be rejected after all that time? It doesn't make sense to other people, but if you're a parent, if you have a child, you're going to go, it's worth the risk. Because the relationships you do develop are worth it. Our Father wants a relationship. Matthew 6:11, we won't go there. And it's really neat how Rotherham explains this too, and not explains it, he translates it. That's what, you want to know what Rotherham does better or different than NIV, New Living Standard, NASB? He translates. Almost every other translation, they start changing and altering it because people aren't going to like what they read or they want to keep the things the same. It says, give us our needful bread this day. Give that to us. Our needful bread this day. He didn't say give us our bread tomorrow. He didn't say give us the bread for the rest of our life. As Americans, we want a big pension and a 401k, so we don't have to worry about anybody, right? So we can retire and somebody takes care of us. And so that's the idolatry or the witchcraft that's in the United States. We don't need an Elohim anymore. At least that's what the people think anyways. But He gives us water every day. He gives us bread every day. And hunger, which is so neat, because hunger exposes man that he is incomplete. Man would love to think we were self-sustaining. Look at us. And the Darwinian, the evolutionists who believe in Darwinian mythology, yes, it's mythology. What do? They exalt man as the supreme being now. Ha, we choose what lives and dies. But a man, how long can we go without eating? You think you're all powerful, miss two or three meals. What happens to your stomach? We got to do something. Oh, somebody help us. Same thing with Israel. They're sitting there hungry. And by the way, Christians, remind people, hunger is not a dirty word. You see the advertisements, nobody should go hungry. There used to be a time when words meant something. Why do you think birds get up in the morning? Hunger. Why do you think coyotes come out of their holes in the morning? Hunger. Why do you think fish swim? Hunger. It's a dependency. Our Father gave us hunger. And how long can we go without eating? 40 days is the maximum, but usually most of us haven't missed two or three meals. And it's revealed we are incomplete. How about thirst, which is the water which is neat? How long can we go without water? A couple days, maybe? You try going one day without water. I challenge you. Just try it. See how well your body works. Your body is designed that it cannot be self-sustaining. You are dependent on outside resources. If man had it his way, he would not have to depend on anything. Ha-ha! But he's not. We're incomplete. We're weak. How about air? Are we dependable on air? Well, not air. If you want to get exact, it's going to be oxygen. How long can you go without oxygen? I challenge you. Why don't you just tell me? Hold your breath right now and show it. Prove to yourself how powerful you really are. What's going to happen? Matter of seconds. Food, you can go a couple weeks, and then you'll die. Water, matter of days. Air, seconds. All of these weaknesses manifest that we are dependent upon something else. Our Father wants a relationship with us. He does not want to give us food for the rest of our life. He wants to be have a relationship with us, and He wants us to be dependent. As a believer, many times in my life, I keep learning this over and over again, which I love about Tim's teaching, about these cycles. Tim did an excellent teaching last week about cycles. Or that wasn't about cycles, but cycles was a part of it. Where here we are. Oh, look at me. Look how much money I made. Ha ha. Oh, man, I ran out of money. And here we go with these cycles. What we want is enough money or whatever it is. Maybe it's a pension. Then we don't need anything. Our Father is not, and Yehoshua, Yahweh and Yehoshua are not going to give you stuff that's going to make you independent of them. That would destroy what? The relationship. The relationship would be over. So what is most important to them? The relationship. It is obedience. It is people that choose to bow their knee and call Yehoshua their master. You're going to go before him. Everybody's going to kneel before Yehoshua. And he just goes, I want people that are going to go into the new heaven and new earth and that want to be there. It's going to be all about a relationship. But they're not going to give you things to make you independent. So sometimes I would ask for things, and why would I want these things? It's because I want to be independent. Dependency is wonderful. Independency is foolishness, because you're never independent. Well, I know there's lots of people that are independent. Yeah, right. Ask Warren Buffett how long he can go without food. Ask Warren Buffett how long he can go without air or oxygen. Who created it? And for these people that believe in man-made doctrines like a Darwinian mythology. Here's just a great analogy. I was looking at our Father's stars in the heavens going, wow, look at all this stuff. It would take 100,000 light years for us to travel just across the Milky Way. 100,000 years at the speed of light. 100,000 years at the speed of light just to go across the Milky Way. I'm looking at these stars. What are our stars? They're just fires. How long does a match last? Matter of seconds, maybe a minute. How about a lighter? Eventually it's going to run out. How about a light bulb? How long does a light bulb last? Maybe a couple days? Who started these fires and how come they don't burn out? Just a big ball of fire. Who did this? The apple is proof that there is a tree. Look at the apple. Oh, I know there's a tree. There's an apple. Man is saying, the apple is proof there is no tree. And we don't think of it that way now because we've been hearing it. We've been brainwashed over and over and over again. People go, the orange is proof there's no tree. Should we look at this? People feel sorry for them. You're going to say, the orange is no proof there's no tree. Look at all this. Who turned those lights on? And who pays those light bills? Man, just think about that. Our Father shows His resume all around us. And if you humble yourself, and He will show you. And just like a dad, can you imagine a billionaire father? Maybe that there's a righteous person who's got a wonderful resume, who has maybe a laboratory, and he's waiting for his kid to ask. That's one of the hardest things that I'm learning as a father, is waiting for my son to ask. Because I just want to give him all this information. Now I look at him, a lot of times he's like, oh my goodness, it's another lecture. I'm learning. I'm a work in progress. But a perfect father doesn't just dump out all this information. What he does is he puts question marks in your life. Why? Well, this doesn't make any kind of sense. We read a scripture here. How does this make sense? This doesn't make sense. We get so frustrated because we don't have an answer. He puts things in here that we cannot answer. Why? So we have to get down upon our knees and say, help! Help! My son's putting a Lego thing together. Here's Legos and here's all these toys. And he looks and goes, Dad, will you help? I look over and I'm like, I set down my book or whatever I'm doing. I come over, I get down on my knees with him, and we do it together. We build together. I go, wow, I can see why you would have done this. The directions say this. And you go, oh, look at that. Imagine that. It's a relationship. That's what our Father has. What's neat is man is specifically made incomplete. Incomplete. And why? So he goes searching for completeness. How many people are looking for completeness, do you know? The unbeliever, the people who reject Yahweh and Jesus Christ, there's no such thing as an agnostic. There's no such thing as an atheist. Otherwise, they couldn't be judged for their life. How convenient. They're going to say, I don't believe judges exist. That doesn't stop your court date, buddy. Yeah. I don't believe there's a judge. You still got a court date. You can do it. You can tell yourself whatever you want. You can prepare for that court date or not. But anyways, our Father designed us with a Y-shaped box, hole right in your heart. Tom Brady won all these awards and these awards over and over again. MVP of the Super Bowl. He had all kinds of odds against him. He married a woman who's a Victoria's Secret model. All these things. He's a great-looking guy. I mean, women look at him, they woo over him because he looks flawless. He was being interviewed on 60 Minutes, and they did his whole, Tom Brady, you've done this, you've done this, Super Bowl MVP, NFL MVP, this guy, all these awards, and they're going, man, a lot of people would have thought you would have retired. When is it enough, Tom? And he looked at the interviewer and he goes, I wish I knew. Nothing will fit. He sticks stuff in that Y-shaped hole, and guess what happens? Jesus goes right through there. We get this temporary feeling, aha, now I feel good. All of us have had that when you feel very depressed and you go spend a bunch of money on yourself. Oh, I feel great now. 2 days later, what did I do? Oh, what did I do? It didn't fit, does it? Oh, that's so disappointing. Our Father put a Y-shaped hole right there inside your heart. Whether it's food, whether it's water, whether it's shelter. He told Abraham, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Follow me. And the only way that you can have that Y-shaped hole filled is through His Son. He who rejects the Son rejects the Father. There is no way of coming to Yahweh except through Yahushua Mashiach. It's a Father and a Son, and that's the only way we can get it. You want satisfaction, you want fulfillment? That's the only way you'll ever be able to get it. And here's a neat thing about that satisfaction, that fulfillment. This is one of my lessons that I learned the hard way. Romans chapter 2. And the nice thing about being one of my friends is that I love to talk so much, I don't even mind if I'm talking about my own downfalls, as long as I'm getting some sort of attention. I'll be happy to tell you, here's where I made a mistake, as long as I'm getting some sort of attention. But Romans chapter 2, I even had that with a client, and we're talking about this, and she's asking about what I've done, so I'm showing my achievements. And she looks at me, she goes, so tell me some of your faults. I looked at her, I've never had that before. Well, then I started wrapping them up. Bow, 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 bow. She goes, you don't mind talking, it's just as long as you're talking. It doesn't even matter the context, does it? I guess it doesn't. What a profound statement. But anyways, Romans chapter 2, 28 verse through 29. This was beautiful. Well, when people say we have Christians have an obligation to the quote-unquote Jews in Israel. Yeah. Romans chapter 2, verse 28. Would somebody read 28 through 29, please?
For not he who is one in appearance is a Jew, nor is that which is such an appearance in flesh circumcision. But he who is one in secret is a Jew, and that is circumcision, which is of the heart, in spirit, not in letter, whose praise is not of men, but of Yahweh.
It's a circumcision of the heart is what Yahweh wants. And Yahweh, through Christ, through the Apostle Paul, says, Abraham, it was by his works. And he was justified by his faith even before his circumcision. It's a circumcision of the heart. There have been times in my life I've been so empty. And I came to our Heavenly Father and humbled myself or whatnot. And I got delivered. Have you ever been delivered? Somebody just gave you a message. It was a message you were waiting for. It was a message in a bottle. You're on a desert island, hopelessness, and somebody gives you a prophecy or a word, and you fall down and you weep. Oh, thank you. I feel complete. How long does it last? Not very long. It might make an impact in your life, but it is not something, it's not like plutonium that it's going to be self-sustaining for a couple hundred years. It's not. The circumcision of the heart is something you do every single day. It's a choice you make. So even if Yahweh gives you and fills that why in your heart, guess what? Don't expect it to last forever. He wants you dependent upon Him. The baker wants you to come to Him and say, I'll cook you some more, just like a mom. A lot of moms love to cook for their kids. Mom, what about this? Okay, well, you have to ask. And mom might say, I can't read your mind. I don't know what you want. If you want spaghetti, you tell me one day in advance to make sure I can make the sauce. That's what a mom would say, right? Our Father does the same thing. He wants to fill that hole every single day. So you come to Him just like your food, just like your water. You go, hey, I want satisfaction. I feel empty. And He goes, huh? And you're coming to me for that. Yeah, you know all things. Give me some satisfaction. Help me fill this void. You designed it. You know what's missing here. And guess what He's going to do? Whoop. He's going to fill you. And a lot of times when that hole gets filled, you're going to weep. At least I do. Everybody manifests things differently. But you're going to feel so complete and whole. The peace that passes all understanding. And our Father designed it. In my life, I always wanted to achieve something so that I conquered this mountain. Now I got my satisfaction. Ha ha. Or I did a teaching, or I changed somebody's life, and now I've achieved something, and now I got something to sustain me for a while. It didn't work that way. And that's why I'm using my example. I feel empty again. I was on cloud nine last week, and now I'm down in the pit again, feeling depressed or something like that. And it's like our Father goes, imagine that. You need me. Do you think, here's Yahweh and Jesus Christ going, do you think I'm going to give you a ministry where you don't need me? If you're in a ministry where you don't need help, then you're probably not in your calling. Our Father chooses weak things to show how strong He is. Ephesians 4:22 tells you, we won't turn this, just be a referencing. Romans 2:28 says that it's not a one-time thing, this circumcision. And it's something you should be doing every day, as much as you can. He's watching you. Your supervisor is in the room. He's in the room with me right now. He's watching me. And he's hoping I stay on track. He's in your room right there with you. He's wondering, why aren't you opening your Bible? Maybe, maybe not. He's going, come on. How many people? Okay, guys, come on, seriously. Did you ever go to class and some people didn't bring their books? How serious did they take that class? If we come to class and we don't bring the books, the professor's right there. You're not fooling anybody. So make sure you bring your book and open it up. He's in the room. But anyways, Ephesians 4:22 tells you to that circumcision of the heart, strip it off. Strip off the old man. Colossians 3:6-9 says, strip it off and make it dead. Make a choice each day to fill that void. Because in truth, the Y-shaped part that is inside you, it's a keyhole. And there's only one key that will work. There are many things that will fit that way, Y-shaped. And we'll shove stuff in there. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's pats on the back. Oh, get that in there. Get there. We start patting stuff. Aha! Independent! Ah! Where'd it go? Oh, man, fell out the back again. It's a keyhole. And our Father has the key. And He has the key in what He does. And this is what Christ did. One guy said, what do you want me to do? And he says, I forget exactly how it went. I love this part, though. He goes, sell all your possessions and be following me. And he went, man, and he was really disappointed because he had all this stuff. He didn't want to follow him. Then the next guy goes, I will follow you. And he goes, or it might be vice versa. But he goes, I have foxes have holes and yada, yada, yada. You go do your thing. You're like, wait a minute. We all want this form. What are we supposed to do? It's a keyhole. You have to go to Him. And He will fit that key and watch what's going to happen. Just like that. Let's see here. 1 Corinthians 14:24, and then we're going to give a very neat testimony that happened yesterday.
1 Corinthians what?
14th chapter. The chapter that's rarely ever opened. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, or excuse me, 14 verse 24. Earlier you say speaking in tongues is a sign of an unbeliever, unless you. But here, verse 24, what is prophecy? But if all be prophesying, and there cometh in one who is unbelieving or unskilled, he is convicted by all, he is searched by all, the secrets of his heart become manifest. The adversary, the slanderer, the accuser might know your past. He does not know the future. But he sure doesn't know the keys to your heart. He might have access to people with tarot cards that can tell you your grandmother wore an orange wig. Your grandpa hit a bottle of scotch someplace. So what? Neat. Okay, that's... But our Father knows the secrets in your heart. And what happens to this guy? In verse 25, and so falling down upon his face, he will do homage unto you? Nope. Homage unto Yahweh. Reporting that in reality, Yahweh is among you. They're going to clash to their face. This happened with Nebuchadnezzar. This is like what happened with Joseph, with Pharaoh. They went, oh my goodness, who can discern this dream? Aha! Joseph goes, I know somebody. Joseph, you can interpret dreams. Joseph goes, whoa. Time out. I know the entity who can interpret the dream. I just relay the message, man. And it says the same thing when Daniel did the same thing. And here's Nebuchadnezzar falling down on his face, going, who knows this? Our Father knows the secrets of your heart. So that Y-shaped heart is right in your chest. What does he do with prophecy? And you might not even understand what the words are. But inside your heart, you tingle, and all of a sudden you're filled. The Y-shape is finally full. And to me, the feeling that I receive, that when somebody nails it with a prophecy, and if I'm humbled before the prophecy, that's a big part, I sit down and I feel complete. And to me, what I think, this is my hypothesis, I don't want to start a doctrine. I believe that's the way it was supposed to be in the Garden of Eden. To be able to communicate with our Heavenly Father every day. And to talk with Him, and how He would speak to me. When somebody gives me a word, that's exactly how I feel. But it's the Y-shaped hole, and how long does it last? It's a daily thing. That's why it says in verse 39, if you get one prophecy, that should sustain you for the rest of your life, right? No. How often does our Father want to talk to you? How often does He want to fill your heart right there? Verse 39, so then, my brethren, be zealous to prophesy. And do not forbid to be speaking with tongues. We are born looking, feeling ashamed that we are incomplete. We shouldn't be ashamed that we're incomplete. We should rejoice. There's a place at the table, and it's for Him. And go to Him. And so the secrets of your heart may become manifest. It's edification, exhortation, and comfort. Caleb, why don't you come up here now? And what's so neat is that in John, and so he's not going to make you independent. He wants a relationship. And how bad does Yahweh want a relationship with you? Read John 3:16. So love is the world that He gave His only begotten, it does say begotten Son, that those that believe in Him shall not perish and have life age abiding. Now yesterday, we got another Walmart story. Cade and I were going to Walmart to pick up some stuff for our camping trip. And I'm wearing my Body by Christ shirt, and on the back it says 1 Corinthians, I forget, it's 9, Running to Win. It's a sleeveless weightlifting shirt. I'm with Cade. We're carrying around a 36-inch Tupperware thing. It's this big, because this would be good for camping. I don't have the foresight to get a shopping cart first, so we're dragging this thing around the whole place. And it's got wheels, so Cade's dragging it for me. Look in the camera. Say hi to everybody.
Hi.
Anyways, as we're dragging this thing around and looking for supplies, I'm looking for thank you cards to send to my customers. And I'm walking through Walmart looking for help. There is no help, at least not when I'm there. Anyways, a woman kind of walks by and she just starts talking. And I said, excuse me? And she turns and looks at me. She goes, you need something? I was like, well, yeah, I'm looking for thank you cards. And she goes, ah, blah, 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 blah. This woman just really liked to talk. She just starts talking. She turns and walks off. And I'm thinking, obviously, whatever she's saying is not that important. Because she's not speaking loud and she's not facing me. And I start following her. She starts looking for cards, too. And then she turns around and she goes, I don't know her. I'm like, okay. And then anyways, Kate and I started looking around. And we're wandering around. We buy some camo shorts and a camo shirt. And believe it or not, boys like camo. Anyways, we come back to where the aisle is. I'd given up on the thank you cards. And she comes and she's like, hey, I found the cards for you. I look at her and say, wow, thanks. And there they are. Thank you very much. We get the cards. We finish our shopping. We're going through the checkout. And we turn and she's right behind us. And she starts talking to us again. But then she turns her back. And I thought she's talking to the other cash register. She's not. I guess she's talking to us. blah, 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 blah. And she's talking about the Shriners being very wicked. And this is not, she's a married woman, and I think what she's saying, I think she's not in a good marriage. But I'm kind of looking at her. I'm with my son. We're having fun, and we're spending some time together. And so I'm not even listening to her because she's got her back to me. She's still talking. I don't know who she's talking to. She follows us. She didn't follow us, but she's walking with Kate and I out of Walmart. We're carrying a 36-inch tub. It's father and son. I got my workout stuff. I'm covered in sweat. And she's walking right beside us. I forgot to say, when we're checking out, she said, "You should pray for me." And so I turned around and said, "You want prayer?" She goes, "Yes." I said, "Okay, what's your name?" What's your name?
Lily.
Tracy. I said, "Kate and I will pray for you." And she goes, "Okay." I'm like, "Okay, all right." So I think our obligation is filled there. We're walking out. She's walking beside us. What did you do for her in the parking lot?
I gave her a prophecy.
Oh. In the where?
In the middle of Walmart, in the street.
In the street. So here's Tracy. And she's talking, blah, blah, blah. She just, this girl talks more than me. She doesn't stop, blah, blah. And she's walking, and she's talking about her husband, and he's a Shriner, and they're in these cults or something like this. It's kind of coming and going. She speaks softly. And Caden gave her a prophecy as cars are driving by. A small person, 8 years old. And guess what he did? He took that key. Yahweh goes, "I want to really get Tracy's attention." And it put it in an 8-year-old's hand. It stuck it right in her heart. Oh. And when we got done, do you remember the look on her face?
A smile.
A very, very big smile and teared up eyes. And she's, her life was changed forever. Okay, that's good. Thank you for that. That's not easy. Yeah, you can go sit there. What's neat about all these things is that as I look at this woman, she's looking at this kid and trying to figure out what in the world just happened. Did Yahweh want to speak through Moses, or did he want to speak through Aaron?
Moses.
Aaron was already a good speaker. Aaron was going to share some of the credit. If Yahweh could speak just through Moses, who's going to get all the credit?
Yeah.
Our Father. He's a strong Father that loves to show Himself mighty and strong to His children to say, "I got you." And if He had His choice, and if Jesus, Yahushua Mashiach, had their choice, they would give you your prophecy, not through some educated, smart person or somebody who claims to be smart like me. It's going to be through something like that. Now, what would change your life? Somebody like Daniel, who maybe a 12-year-old kid comes in and drops the old king who's going to be off of their heads, off of their heads. Oh, some teenagers. Okay, this ought to be interesting. And all of a sudden, the king who's going to wipe everybody out is now on his hands and he's weeping. This is something different. This isn't tarot cards. But it's that Y-shaped hole that's in all of us. Our Father is making us dependent upon Him. What we should do is we should embrace the dependency. Get excited that we don't have food for a week. Get excited that you don't have enough money to retire off. Why? That means you're going to have to ask your dad for help. How many kids want to become independent of their parents? I'm not going back to mom and dad. No, they're just going to give me a lecture. I'm not going back to mom and dad. They're going to lecture me and they're going to say, "I told you so." Our Father, you know, He might give you a lecture. But He doesn't ever want you to be independent. But rejoice when He calls you and you are ill-equipped. Because He wants to show Himself mighty. And that's why prophecy is so important. Because so many people, they have that hole. And sometimes you've received a gift and some other things. But prophecy is the secrets of their heart. It was very similar to what Daniel did with old Nebuchadnezzar. Joseph did with Pharaoh. There's nothing new. It's what Yehoshua did with Nathan. And so can you. That's why it says cut. And if you guys have questions on how to be zealous to prophesy, contact us. You can even give me a text or an email. But until then, covet to prophesy. Speak in tongues daily. And it'll be 2 weeks for our next teaching, so I'll go ahead and close. And then I'll give you guys a prophecy. And before I give you a prophecy, let me put the ball in your court. Because if you show up to a meeting and you're like, "Let's get this thing over with. You know, I got about 5 more minutes to wrap this thing up." or somebody's going to give you a prophecy and you're just going through the motions, guess how much you're going to get?
No.
Right, very little. But if you pause this teaching, because I guarantee you there's holes in your heart right now that you don't know. Are you going to be able to retire? Are you going to meet your spouse? Are you going to have that kid? Are you going to get healed? Come on, what are some of those things? There's things in your life that are missing, and our Father is waiting for you to come to Him. Even wicked old Israel went to Moses. It took a while, but they finally went to Moses. Give us food. And he gave it to them, didn't he? Our Father's waiting for you to humble yourself. So before I give you a prophecy, give you a chance, here's your opportunity to humble yourself and say, do you want to know the answer? Are you going to get that husband? Are you going to get that healing? Here's your shot. We thank you, Father, for these words. We thank you for all the believers and for Telios Ministries and for funding all of this and making these things available. We thank you for David and Carol and Rachel and Billy and Daniel and Katie. And we thank you for Cece and for all our brothers and sisters who are able to watch this, and our brother Guy and Dina. And we thank you for the wonderful words and for reminding us that our final examination when we go before Yehoshua, it won't be before the church fathers. It won't be before the Baptist church or the elders of the Assemblies of God or the elders of the Catholic church. It won't be the Pope. It's going to be Yehoshua. And it's an individual race that we have for Him. And we just thank you for that dependency on you and that relationship you desire. To imagine that the Creator of the universe and His Son, who is at His right hand, wants a relationship with me, and I put them on hold. That just bothers me. I have to wrestle that each day. We thank you for these words. My children, know that I am your Father, that I have wonderful treats just for you. I want to minister you, and I want to heal you. I want you to come to me and tell me what is hurting. A father will ask their children, tell me what hurts. Tell me where it is. So do I do with you. And I want you to tell me about it. Faithful and just am I to forgive you if you confess your sins. Why do I make you confess your sins? Just think about that. I want a relationship. I want you to talk to me about what's missing. I want you to talk to me about your hopes and dreams. You talk to your friends about your dreams. You talk to your people you don't even know about your dreams. Talk to me about your dreams. Because I am waiting, and I have my arms full to dump them out into your lap. If you seek me, don't try the magazines. Don't try The View. Don't watch TV to receive these things. Don't go to your friends or your neighbors. Come to me, and I will overflow your cup. Trust me, my son, when he was on this earth, he had more work and more stress placed upon his body than anybody had ever has or had been. But I filled his cup up, and he had joy to the max. And nobody was able to run the race like he did with as much joy. Because I had a relationship with him, and I built him up, and we laughed more than you could ever imagine. If that's what I did with my son, how much more would I do it through you now? We thank you for all these things through Yehoshua Mashiach.